Welcome to the Kurt Saxon Show, your countdown to the future. First, I want you to take down my phone number in case you want to call. The number is 501-437-2963. In case you didn't get it, here it is again. 501-437-2963. Sorry, but we can't accept collect calls. This piece is from 1976 and appears in the Survivor Volume 1. The title is, Our Future Lies in the Past. It's quite possible that civilizations greater than ours existed thousands of years ago on Earth. Moreover, I believe we are the descendants of people who left civilizations among the stars. The further you go back in history, the more complex and technical civilizations were. Egypt, Crete, and Sumer had remnants of glories in their own past, unexplained by today's scientists. Maybe ancient civilizations degenerated after cataclysmic polar shifts. Maybe they were brought down by surplus populations ignorant of their own science, technologies, and the social laws of cause and effect. What is important, however, is that whole peoples tend to forget technologies which made their ancestors great. From periods of riches and freedom, nations sink into periods of poverty and servitude. This is because they allow science and technology to pass from the intelligent and independent layman and into the control of rulers, generals, and gods. Rulers, generals, and gods have ever been the enemies of liberty. They are always self-serving and destructive, plunging the mightiest works of superior men into ruin, followed by ignorance and savagery. Near our own time was Rome. Her degeneration led to the Dark Ages, wherein Europeans even forgot the earth was round. Then let Rome serve as our example. She began with vigorous individualists who became legends even as they borrowed the legends of their own ancestors. The early Romans were small leagues of men who delegated authority only to the best among them. They kept the group small enough so that every man could have his say and exert his will in matters of importance to himself and his family. Every man was conscious of and responsible for his local environment. He controlled his lifestyle and succeeded or failed depending on his own efforts along with the cooperation of his neighbors. This simple system of strong individual responsibility applied even to the primitive agriculture of ancient Rome, worked and even created a surplus. The surplus went to buy slaves so that the citizen was free to specialize. Free also were the congenitally unfit who would have perished had there not been a surplus created by their betters, and an even greater surplus created by the slaves. As Rome developed and slaves took over most of the labor, the better citizens specialized in trade, manufacturing, etc., and soon knew nothing outside their narrow specialties. Then there were the masses of unskilled and useless rabble called proletarians. They were useless mainly because slaves did most of the work. Also, since there was little work to measure a man by, the mental defectives and the psychotics reproduced their own kind unnoticed. Thus, in time, the citizenry of Rome was genetically devitalized past the point of no return. Then there were the politicians. Now, a politician is a failure from birth. If a man can do anything, he settles in during his formative years, either doing it or learning to do it. Thus, a good street sweeper is too valuable to run for office. This is left up to his inferior, who does so with a vengeance. Roman politicians were mainly idle sons of the rich, often appointed as army officers. If their legionaries won a big battle for them, they then got out of the army's way and with their undeserved publicity sought and usually won political office. With their political offices, they favored the military and the big landowners who were the agribusinesses of that day. That's where the accumulated wealth and power was. The votes of the proletariat simply secured for the political pigs their place at the public trough. These ignorant aristocrats could better identify with the, by now, degenerate masses. They learned the language of the masses, promised them anything, gave them bread and circuses, and inevitably the shaft. They turned their sports arenas into nightmares of carnage known as gladiatorial combats. Such shows sickened vigorous foreigners but delighted the effete and worthless voters, the proletariat. The politicians competed with each other in who could put on the sickest shows, leopards raping women, lions eating children, etc. Therefore, the vilest politicians got the most votes. The surplus population finally bankrupted the nation. Rome's barbaric neighbors, looted of their resources and crops, finally revolted and cut off Rome's supplies. So Rome came apart. The slaves left for their tribal lands. The free tradesmen and specialists wiped out, wandered the known world looking for rich sponsors among the barbarians. The aristocrats were looted by the proletariat, and the proletariat reverted to a barbarity more primitive than that of their ruined neighbors. The Romans had libraries, teachers, philosophers. Why didn't the men of reason pull the state together? With Italy's resources used up, its croplands depleted, its army units fighting each other as well as foreign invaders, its population an undisciplined, riotous rabble, how could reason prevail? Result? Almost 1,000 years of theocracy known as the Dark Ages. In the U.S., machines are our slaves. The most powerful personalities know practically nothing outside their narrow specialties, unless you count their expertise in sports events. The same goes for our corporation-owned scientists. Our skilled workers are wholly dependent on a stable society with easily available energy and resources. They also know more about baseball and football than how to raise chickens. To learn how to maintain a survival homestead would be akin to treason. To doubt that the American way of life is eternal is unthinkable and altogether unpleasant. Unemployment is rising. There are millions of first through the fourth generation welfare recipients, and even thousands who are fifth generation welfare recipients. Our resources are depleted. Our cropland is declining in productivity. There is drought from the Dakotas down through Texas. California's present drought is the worst in 72 years. Our foreign sources of supply are raising their prices and may soon refuse to sell their precious resources at any price. Barring a nuclear war with the soon-to-be starving Russians, America's irreversible collapse should be apparent to anyone soon. By then, it will be too late for city dwellers to go back to the land. All they will find will be armed survivors treating them like the improvident, ignorant refugees they will be. What is to prevent us from sinking into another dark age after the collapse of our own civilization? Given the same conditions as Rome, our savagery seems inevitable. But we have an accelerating back-to-the-land movement, and the Romans didn't. Our survivors know the extent of the collapse and can prepare, whereas the Romans had no TV or international news agencies. Also, our collapse will be quick enough so that this generation will experience it. Rome's final collapse was gradual over several decades, so the individual really didn't know which way to jump until it was too late. Had the surviving Romans reverted to the systems of their vigorous and creative ancestors, they could have built upon the ruins and there would have been no dark ages. The world of Star Trek would be a reality in our time, but they didn't. We must. We can drop out and recreate the system of our own vigorous and creative ancestors. We can start with 19th century science before it got away from the individual craftsman and innovator and was taken over by the accumulators of wealth and power. We can take up where our own ancestors left off in the development of sun, wind, and steam power. Instead of letting the oil and utility companies sell us energy, we can harness our own and community life support systems. Throughout this paper, issue by issue, you will see the possibilities for independence from the bigness which has put us all in so much danger. We can survive, maintaining our vigor and developing our independent life support systems. By developing our ancestor science and keeping it in the control of laymen, we can forever reject the bureaucracy and military-industrial complex which shattered Rome and is swamping Western civilization. The world's cities will perish, but there need not be another dark age. Instead, we can go from our survival homesteads to the stars. All right, here I'm again, Kurt Saxon. The phone number to call is 501-437-2963. Now, as I was telling you about the information packet, for $10, sent to P.O. Box 95, Alpena, Arkansas, 72611, you'll get a sample copy of U.S. Militia, the only magazine for community defense. the Shoestring Entrepreneur, which teaches you how to sell anything you can make or grow, and David Koresh's Last Testament, which is not sold anywhere else. You can't get it from anyone but us. And if you would like to get a set of the tapes of these programs, they're $25 for a week's show, postpaid. You send to Jeffrey's Audio, P.O. Box 326, Alpena, Arkansas, 72611. An individual tape costs $6. Just tell the date of its airing. Now, my phone number again is 501-437-2963. I'm waiting for that phone. And so in the meantime, I might just describe to you the publication, U.S. Militia. It's an 80-page publication. For $35, you get 12 issues. You'll start out with the first three. And there's no paid ads in it, so it's not a catalog like so many magazines you buy on the newsstands. It gives you the 1942 course in Super Jiu-Jitsu, which is extremely easy to apply, very easy to learn, and very interesting to read. It also serializes Wheels of Rage, a story of an outlaw motorcycle club of the 70s, and help you start your own gang if that's what you want to do. And it also tells you, it's serializing Lothrop Stoddard's Revolt Against Civilization, published in 1922, which is more or less a countdown to what happens when a civilization allows itself to be so downbred that it can no longer function. And you can pretty much see that all around you. Well, here we got a call. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Good evening, Kirk. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm glad you called. Thanks a lot.
I'm a listener from Montreal, Canada, who's calling. Signal
yes.
Coming in loud and clear.
I'm glad.
And I just heard you about 2 weeks ago for the very first time and have been listening.
It's been on 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yes. You're lucky.
Why, other people have had a harder time, or?
No, because you got it at the start.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've just been on 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Actually, I didn't know that. I've been enjoying the program. It's quite interesting. I mean, have you had any calls from anybody outside of the United States or Canada?
Well, one England so far, and of course, I should suppose that it would be a little difficult for them to call me. And of course, I'd probably be on sometime in the daytime there.
Uh huh.
But I certainly welcome any calls. So far, no one from England or other parts of Europe has ordered the information packet,
mm-hmm.
although I do send my material all over the world.
Because something actually that, I mean, if I could give a little suggestion here,
yes?
if you don't mind.
Don't mind a bit.
Would be to, if you know the frequency that you're broadcasting on, to give that out as a few times.
Oh, well... what is the frequency for this? I'm asking my producer. I wonder if he knows. Why don't you write it down while you say something else, and he'll write out the frequency, because I can never remember it.
Okay.
And I just sort of had it in my mind that if a person was hearing me, then he'd have to know the frequency, but now that you
Well, I know, of course, a lot of people know the frequency. It's just that sometimes a lot of people on shortwave, they don't give out the frequency that they're on. And I don't have a digital radio. I have an old-fashioned dial-and-point type of radio.
Okay.
And quite often, if I pick up something that I like, the following night I will forget.
Okay.
The program.
He's written it out for me, and it's 5.810 megahertz. And I come on at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time in the United States, five nights a week.
Oh, so you go on it, you sign on at 6?
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, I thought you signed on at 7.
Well, it depends on where you are. If you're in New York, I'm on at 7. And if you're in California, I'm on at 4. And it confuses me, but at least the number is 5.810 megahertz, in case you want to write it down and tell your friends or people you don't like. So,
oh, thanks a lot, Kurt.
I really appreciate you bringing that to my attention, because on second thought, you're right. A lot of people might just tune me in and then maybe not be able to find it the next time because they didn't take off the number.
Mm-hmm. I have a little question for you.
Yes.
Since you are from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
How does it make you feel to have Bill Clinton in the White House?
Well, it makes me feel great because I think most of the people in Arkansas who voted for him wanted to vote him out of the state. Now we're rid of him, and the rest of the world has him.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, don't you think now that he's in a higher position, that's more difficult for you down there in Arkansas?
Oh, no. Everything is always easy when we throw the rascals out, and they do that on a regular basis, but then more rascals come in. Now, I don't even know if we have a governor. I think we do, but I don't know his name. Maybe somebody who knows might tell me. Of course, it wouldn't be important.
It sounds just like the same. It sounds like the political situation up here in Canada at the moment. Nobody really knows who's in power anymore.
Yes.
You know, anyway,
well, nobody is in power, as I've said so many times. Don't be afraid of your government. Be afraid because you have no government.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you very much. Enjoying the broadcast and continued good broadcasting and happy DXing for 1994.
Well, send for the packet. I'm sure you would love it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye for now. Okay, now the phone number again is 501-437-2963. And if you got a pencil handy, you really ought to write down that megahertz number. That's 5.810 megahertz. That is, if you just sort of found me by accident and next time you'd forget where it was. Well, it's 5.810 megahertz, and I'm waiting for a call. In the meantime, if you send $10 to P.O. Box 95, Alpena, Arkansas, I'll pick up that. Getting another call. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Yeah, hi, Kirk. I really enjoy your show, and I sent for the packet last week, so I'm anxiously waiting for its arrival.
Well, it's probably on its way.
Okay, good. I was curious last night when I was listening to your broadcast, just after the gentleman who was talking about the coin scams and mentioned somebody's name, the signal where I was at, which is, I'm in Texas, the signal just completely dropped off.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, I wouldn't know those people's names because that's really not my area.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was, I
think
couldn't
if you
pick
call...
up after that, but then suddenly at 7 o'clock, the signal was completely and fully restored.
Yes.
Like it was a conspiracy or something.
Oh, no, it wasn't any conspiracy. But see, now this is another reason for buying a set of the tapes. This way, now the tapes are perfect.
Yeah.
See, what goes over the air, you might hit atmosphere and you can't pick it up, but the tapes are perfect. And so if you like the program, then just buy the tapes, and this way you can listen it to the office or home or wherever you are when you're not watching TV, or like if you're in your truck and you're driving someplace. So they're very fun to listen to.
Yeah, that's a great idea. But anyway, I enjoy your show, and I'm looking forward to getting your information.
Well, the packet should show up any day now. We sent off the first bunch, and we expect to send off another bunch in a few days. And we'll keep just be patient. They will come limping along.
Okay, well, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much. Bye for now.
Bye.
Okay, now my phone number is 501-437-2963. Now, with that $10, you'll get the U.S. Militia, Shoestring Entrepreneur, and David Koresh's Last Testament, a very interesting book. Here's another phone call. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Yes, Kurt, I'd like to talk with you for a minute.
Well, please do.
Yeah, I just want to tell you how happy we are to see you on shortwave, right?
Yeah.
And there's a whole group of us out here, and we're loving what you say. We agree with quite a bit of it.
Well, I'm glad. I hope you don't agree with all of it.
No, we couldn't do that, Kurt. You're a little bit far out for that.
Well, good.
But, hey, Kurt, a couple things. Did you stop writing The Survivor? Did you stop producing that?
Well, you see, I did. I've done 8 volumes of The Survivor. When I would do 12 issues, I would rework it, add more material and make it into a bound volume. I've got 4 bound volumes now. I'm working on the 5th, and I will be working on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. And since I finished volume 8, issue 12, I figured, okay, let's sort of make the hairier stuff, the wilder articles, I'll put those in U.S. Militia, and Shoestring Entrepreneur will be the new Survivor, just a different name, except it'll be more family-oriented and business-oriented. And for these people who like to bounce off the walls, you've got U.S. Militia. And no matter what I do, I'm always holding back. But you would love U.S. Militia, especially Clarence, my psychotic.
Oh, that's the psychotic biker, right?
No, he's not a biker. There are stories about psychotic bikers there, but they're not Clarence.
Okay, we're just trying to tune in. Say a couple more things before we run.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us in the self-reliant community, right?
Yeah.
And we really would like to have some kind of a bulletin board we could tie into, be it audio, be it video, be it by shortwave radio. Perhaps you could tell us about other people that are putting out quality newsletters for the self-reliant community.
The only one that I would recommend would be just a minute. I'm gonna look for it. Could you hand me that over there? I'll have my producer hand me this magazine, which I say is the best in the field. It's called Countryside and Small Stock Journal, and it has everything you want to think about back to the land and home businesses, and I'm looking up here. It's $18 per year, and I'll even give you the phone number. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, okay. 715-785-7979. Now, you call those people up and send them a subscription. And you'll be delighted at the material you get. Now, as far as putting a bulletin board, that's really not my area, but do you have a computer and modems and everything like that, whatever they call it?
Well, to tell you the truth, Kurt, we're a little bit far back for that where we're at.
Yeah.
We're way back
not
in the backwoods. And, we don't have a phone service back here.
Oh, you don't?
I know. We don't have phone service yet. We're back on a homestead. A couple more quick ones, and I'm going to let you go because I'm
okay.
Sure there's other people that want to talk to you. The Mensas, I'm sure you've heard of them. Have
oh, yes, group. Yes, I've heard of the Mensa.
And they're kind of in and out.
Uh-huh.
Talking about in and out, the last thing is we knew you when you were Don Cisco.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about the name change and what precipitated that? And just give us a little bit of background on you. So there's
okay.
So many of us that are interested.
Okay.
We'd like to hear it from you.
Okay, in 1970, I was subpoenaed to the Senate for a hearing on bombings and civil disturbances. And so there was the TV cameras, and there was everybody there. I had a ball, I tell you. I loved it. They put me up in a hotel room, and I got to rave at a bunch of senators for about 3 hours. I was in my element. But the thing is, I got so much publicity, then I figured I don't want to embarrass my relatives because what I was doing was not socially approved. And so I just went and got, I went to the courthouse and I got a change of name form. I think I paid about $10, $15 for it. And then I filled it out and I submitted it to the court. And then I went in for a court hearing. And when the judge found out that I wasn't trying to defraud anybody, I wasn't running away from anything, I just wanted a name change, then he said no problem, and so I got my name legally changed from Don Cisco to Kurt Saxon. Also, there was legal difficulties that might have come up because I had already been calling myself Kurt Saxon on my books and papers and things like that. Well, not letters and stuff. I wasn't passing myself off as Kurt Saxon. It was just Kurt Saxon, the author, like...
pen name.
Yeah, Samuel Clemens changed his name to Mark Twain. So if he had done anything official, signed it Sam Clemens, and it had to do with any of his writings, then there would have been difficulties. See, so same way with me. I just made it a legal name change. So that's all there was to it. Nothing mysterious.
Well, we have a lot of faith in you, Kurt. And I'd remind all your listeners out there to remember our constitutional rights. Don't let bureaucrats, also known as bureau rats, freak you out, and just do what you know is right. Okay, thank you, Kurt.
Well, you're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
I'll add to that, and I'll say do what you want to do. Always do what you want to do, because when you ask people, they always say no. So it's a whole lot safer just to do what you want to do, and then if you're doing it wrong, someone's going to point it out, usually before you're in trouble. But when you go to a bureaucrat and say, well, can I do this? I've had problems with readers who just hang back and they can't do anything because they think that there's a law against it. If they go to a bureaucrat and they say, is it okay for me to do this? Well, sure enough, that simple-minded bureaucrat is going to find a law against it. But if you go ahead and do it and then tell them, I've done it, give me the papers authorizing it, they can find those papers. So always do what you want to do first and ask questions later. So my phone number is area code 501-437-2963. I'm waiting for your call. And my address for the $10 information packet, which incidentally you'll get $5 off. It's a $5 refund on a subscription to any of my publications. So you send $10 and you'll get $5 off of a subscription on the sample copy of Shoestring Entrepreneur or U.S. Militia. And, of course, the David Koresh's last testament is a it's a premium. Another call. Hello. Oh, somebody must have hung up. I pushed the button. Well, here's somebody else. Let's hope this works. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Hi, Kurt. I called you a little late yesterday, and you were off the air before I...
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you called back. Well, bless your heart.
Yeah, I just for... Your listeners and myself, I wanted to ask you again about the NRA, who backs them, and why they're not really the activist organization they make themselves out to be.
Well, as far as I know about the NRA, they're only backed by the people who subscribe and the people who have memberships. And, of course, any backing that they would need, I'm sure they can get from Smith & Wesson and the great bunch of armaments manufacturers. And I think, although I'm not sure, I couldn't prove it, but I'll just bet that they back all of these anti-gun bills to frighten people into buying guns. I couldn't prove it, but it works.
Really interested in gun control at all.
No. Well, they know that it's impossible, but they figure that if they can put out a lot of fear among the public, that the public is going to get aroused and get more interest in guns.
Right. So in your opinion, or in your view, if someone was really interested in an activist-type organization that was against gun control, what would you suggest?
Well, I wouldn't suggest anything.
I see.
Because it's a waste of time. As I told the audience yesterday or maybe day before, or I'll tell them again.
Yeah.
In the late 60s, Senator Thomas Dodd passed the most restrictive anti-gun legislation since the banning of the Tommy gun and the silencer. And at that time, there was about 50 million rifles, shotguns, and handguns owned by civilians in this country. Now, everybody at that time thought, oh, my goodness, they're going to take away our guns. So my good friend and bank robber Walt Gould, who is Whispering Smith in Wheels of Rage, which is in U.S. Militia, drove to Phoenix, Arizona, and he got a whole carload of guns, and he was selling them out of the back of his car on Hollywood Boulevard. And lots and lots of people I knew were really cleaning up because of Dodd's anti-gun proposals. Now, if Dodd were living today, if he could go to any gun show, he would throw up, because there are over 200 million rifles, shotguns, and pistols in people's hands now. And there is armaments in these that would make the Tommy gun look like a toy pistol. And up until a few years ago, you could buy parts for a silencer. And that's not really the biggest thing in the world. Now, there are 284,000 federal firearms license holders in the country. Now, they're talking about raising the price, so a lot of them will go out of business. But if they're running any kind of business, that's not going to bother them. But this whole gun control and gun endangerment is a farce. A lot of it is put out just to placate the silly liberals that makes them think that something is being done. Like, for instance, when Howard Metzenbaum puts out a law that says you can't have a magazine that holds more than 7 shots. Well, this is ridiculous. Anyone can shoot is going to hit the target before he wastes 7 shots.
Right. You don't feel that gun licensing will have any impact upon gun...
No. It won't have anything to do with any criminal act at all, and any rational person knows that except the liberals, and it makes them feel happy. But like I've said a couple of times, and you can get it verified, in California, it is against the law to have an unregistered semi-automatic or assault gun, and they've got over 300,000 of them. And there, up to this date, as far as I know, not more than 15,000 people have registered their weapons, so people don't care.
Yeah, I understand that, but they're still going to make an assault as far the liberals will make an assault on trying to limit ammunition. I heard that Janet Reno was trying to propose that Winchester come up with a primer that only lasts for 1 year.
Well, now come on, think. Give me a break.
Well,
think about
chemistry,
it.
Chemistry, it's possible, though.
Think about it. Not chemistry. No, if you know anything about primers and you know what goes into them, how are you going to... what's the chemistry of a primer that will stop being effective after a year?
Yeah, I know. It's practically impossible.
Okay, you see, it's silly. It's just another dumb rumor that you caught onto. It's a gotcha.
Yeah.
See? So now, I'm going to start help promoting this nonsense now by telling you that if you're anxious about bullets, get you a reloading kit and get you the makings for several thousand of your favorite bullet. Now, the reloading equipment manufacturers will love that, in the same way as that the gun manufacturers love it when people get worried about guns. But go ahead. I mean, reloading is a fine hobby, saves you a lot of money, and if they just go with it.
Yeah. Okay, Kurt. Sorry to take up so much.
Hey, no, I love it. I love it. I appreciate it.
Okay, good evening.
Okay, good evening for now. Bye-bye. Now, the phone number is 501-437-2963. Now, one of the questions was there any viable pro-gun association which was straight and just for the people who buy and own guns, just the little guy? And my producer says, I'll read this after this call. Is it flashing? Okay, well, here it is again. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Hello, Kurt. I have a question for you.
All right.
Are you familiar with a gentleman by the name of Anton LaVey?
Oh, yeah.
Head of the Church of Satan?
Well, he used to be. I don't know. I haven't had anything to do with him for about 25 years.
Okay, it says the information I have is that you were one of the founding members of the Church of Satan. Is that true?
No, it's not true. You see, in 1960...
But you were affiliated with him, right?
Oh, I was a member, yes.
Okay.
Yes. When I lived in San Francisco, I saw Anton on TV, and he was such a way out and interesting character, I called him up. And you see, I've majored in journalism. I was a reporter, and I enjoyed looking into groups like that, and so I went around and I joined. I wanted to see what it was all about, and it was fun. But where you got that from had to do with little Zena LaVey. I had a copper enameling kit, and so I made her one of their symbols.
A Baphomet.
Yes, okay. And so now when I knew her, she was only 4 years old, and so I gave her that, and everyone thought it was real cute, and it was a goat, and it had, instead of the mystic symbols, it had a lollipop, a Luger pistol, a pie, and various things that children would like.
Uh-huh.
And the book that she wrote later, see, she didn't really remember me. I was nobody big in the organization, but she obviously remembered the Baphomet.
Uh-huh.
But you see, I joined in 67, and it was started in 66.
Okay.
So she just did not remember.
Okay. So you're not affiliated with them any longer?
Oh, no, 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 no. I joined everything you could think of. I love joining things like that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Now, my producer handed me this card where he wrote, "The American Pistol and Rifle Association is a truly pro-gun organization." Now, I don't know if he has the address. Oh, just another. Here's another call. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Yeah, this is my first night listening to you, but I had a question.
Yes.
I live in Ohio.
Yes.
And in the beginning, under the Christians, they formed a militia to stop what is happening right now with taking away guns and the taxes going into government right now.
In Ohio?
No, in the beginning of the United States, in the Constitution.
Yes.
Now, with what is happening with high taxes and the government trying to take away your guns, how can a normal citizen start a militia out of the government?
Well, you don't start a religion, a militia out of the government. My idea of U.S. militia is a purely community-based organization having no affiliation with the government at all. I don't think the government would approve, but the idea is you're not supposed to consider whether the government likes it or not, because it is your right, your privilege, and your duty to defend your community.
Okay, that's what I was wanting to know.
And that is all outlined in U.S. militia.
Okay, and do you know where you can get them a copy of that?
Well, in case you didn't hear, I'll give it to you again. For $10, $5 refundable on the first order, you'll get a packet with a sample copy of U.S. Militia, a sample copy of Shoestring Entrepreneur, which tells you how you can sell anything you can make or grow, and David Koresh's Last Testament. And you send that $10 to P.O. Box 95, Alpena, A-L-P-E-N-A, Arkansas, 72611. And in a few days, you'll get your packet. You can examine U.S. Militia, and I guarantee you'll love the idea. A lot of good information, a lot of fun stuff there, too.
Okay. I appreciate that. Could you give me the zip code one more time?
72611.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Bye for now. Now, I don't know anything about this American Pistol and Rifle Association, although it rings a bell, but if you're really worried about things like that, you can look it up and do that. Another call. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Yeah, Kurt, you got a great show tonight.
Why, thank you.
I got one question for you. See if you can answer it for me.
I'll try.
Hey, we're doing some water preserving, you know, storing it up just for, you know, we live out in the country, we're just kind of keeping it up, you know,
yes,
for emergency supply. Have you heard anyone using 35% food-grade hydrogen peroxide instead of Clorox?
I've heard of that, and I think it's a good idea.
Because, you know, Clorox, you know, is basically a toxic chemical.
Well, because the chlorine is a gas,
mm-hmm,
which mixes with water, and after a while it dissipates.
Okay.
So don't worry about it, but sometimes it can leave a taste.
Yeah, I know. We've had to use it before when the well's been down.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious if you heard anything about that 35% food grade, like how strong it makes it or anything like that.
I'm not quite sure, but why don't you go to your health food store? That's where you usually buy it, and they can sell you literature on it.
Okay. Well, thank you for the information. I'll let someone else get on there. Like I said, I love your show. I've been a subscriber for 2 or 3 years now.
Have you gotten Shoestring Militia?
Yep, have you, we have a Shoestring Entrepreneur just came today.
Oh, well, my goodness, that's taken quite a while. A lot of people have been complaining. Well, the mail is very slow. Did you like it so far?
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and just read it yet because, like I say, it just came about a half hour ago.
Yeah. Well, do you have a subscription to U.S. Militia?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, I sure do. Love Clarence.
Everybody loves Clarence. Yes, I love Clarence, too.
Has some interesting ideas on weaponry.
Oh, yes. Well, it's like I've been saying, if worse came to worse and some big cloud should appear over the country and the next day you didn't have any guns, if you got my material, it wouldn't bother you because you can come out better armed than you were before.
Yeah, you got that right.
Okay, then.
I'll let you go, Kurt. Let someone else get on there now.
Okay, bye for now.
Yeah.
Now, my phone number is 501-437-2963. So I'm waiting here for a call, and the address for the tapes is P.O. Box 326, Alpena, Arkansas, 72611. $6 for one, $25 for five, and it's postpaid. And that's from Jeffrey's Audio. And if you send $10 for an information packet, you'll get a sample copy of U.S. Militia, a sample copy of Shoestring Entrepreneur, and David Koresh's Last Testament, which will be a collector's item because no one else has the authority to sell it. As now, Stuart Waterhouse was on here a few days ago, and he told how David Koresh's mother released the material to him. So it's original and it's genuine, and it won't be for sale too long. Another call. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Hi, Kurt. This is Gerald over here in Oklahoma City.
Hi, Gerald.
Hi, I was listening to you and heard you talking about reload and I reload.
Yeah.
And I've been reloading since I was 17. I'm 42 now, so I've been doing it a while. It's really fun, and you know, you get the pleasure of shooting what you put together yourself.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost a lot either. If a person is going to, I mean, it's sort of silly to take and buy a 1,000 rounds of bullets when you can buy them, the makings, for so much cheaper and have a good time, too.
Yes, you're right. You can cast your own bullets if you're into that. I do that a little bit. And they also, there's a process called swedging where you can take a lead core and wrap it around the copper tubing to make bullets out of also.
Yeah.
And I don't do that, but it's a good hobby to get into if a guy wants to, you know, get into that line of work.
Yeah.
And
well, also, if something should happen where bullets should get expensive or anything like that, then you'd be all set up to black market them.
Yeah, you could always sell them or barter them off for food or something.
Oh, listen, bullets will be the best barter item you can think of when bullets are no longer manufactured. I mean, when things really get bad and the plants close, I don't mean they're going to be closed by the government, but when they close because the civilization has gotten that poorly, then if you've got bullets, you've got money.
That's right. It's it has intrinsic value and it's worth something.
Yes, it is. And I'd say bullets and eggs would be your best hedge against anything.
Yeah, you're right. I have a copy of your Poor Man James Bond. I was looking at it the other day when you was advertising your books, and it has a copyright of 72 in there, so I've had it for quite a long time.
Well, you ought to get the new improved because it's considerably larger. Do you have the one in newsprint, the large pages?
It's large pages.
Uh-huh. Well, you see, the new improved Poor Man's James Bond has 470-some-odd pages in it. It's on bond paper, and it has over 1.5 times the original material, so you'd do well to buy another volume of it.
Oh, an updated version?
Oh, yeah. Are you a subscriber to either a Shoestring Entrepreneur or U.S. Militia?
I sent off a week ago today for your $10 packet. I should probably get it.
Okay, you should get it any day. And then when as a subscriber, you get all my books and tapes at 10% off. That's a good savings.
Uh-huh. You don't put out that book called The Anarchist Cookbook.
Oh, no. The Anarchist Cookbook was the inspiration for the Poor Man's James Bond. When I read that, I thought it was just so ungodly stupid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you can imagine shooting a Molotov cocktail from a shotgun.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that.
I mean, it was so poorly done, and the guy who wrote it was an anarchist, and he just wanted to get people in trouble, and that's all he ever accomplished. And I just figured it was so stupid and so poorly written that I could do better, and of course I did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got to have a copy of that also. I've had it for years, also like your original James Bond issue.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that the Anarchist Cookbook is as near to a suicide manual as you can have, because you start messing with stuff like that, you're going to blow yourself up, because the guy who wrote it didn't know anything about the subject. He was a political anarchist.
Yes, I agree with you. Also, I heard you talking the other night about somebody about making tracers. I have some material on that.
Oh, well, what is it basically that you could just sort of...
Well, it comes in, you know, you can make it in different colors, and I was looking at it just before I called you, and you use a strontium nitrate.
Strontium nitrate, yes.
Shellac.
Yes.
And just a second here, and I'll look at see which is the last ingredients. Magnesium powder.
Yes.
Three basic ingredients to get red tracers. And for a different color tracer, will you use barium nitrate, shellac, and magnesium powder? So you just change one of the basic ingredients to change the color of it.
Yes.
So it's broken down in different parts. He's got it listed by parts, you know, for weight factor.
Yes.
For the barium nitrate, he uses 50 parts, shellac 10 parts, and magnesium powder 35 parts, which, you know, totals right around 100.
Yeah, it's got a total of 100, or else there's something wrong.
Uh-huh. And for white, he uses magnesium powder, strontium nitrate, barium peroxide, and shellac.
And you know you can get all of those chemicals easily, no problems, no question asked, from the Alchemist. And their phone number and their address is in the first issue of U.S. Militia. Now, that's a real treat for y'all out there if you want to make your own tracers or anything else for that matter.
There was some guy that I sent off for a catalog from out of Idaho. I don't have it in front of me, but he has basically the same chemicals that I just mentioned to you.
Yeah.
For him.
Well, good. You see, these chemicals can be obtained, and if you're really aware of what's happening and you want to do certain things, it'd be best to buy these chemicals by the pound so you'll have a good supply, because when you can't get them anymore, then you've got them.
Yes, you're right.
Chemicals also make great barter items.
You're right. That's like making ammunition. It's good to have a large stock of it on hand, so if they do shut the supply off, you got it, you know, last you for several years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll let you get going, and I'll, nice talking to you, and I'll be listening on the radio to you.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye for now. Okay, now my phone number again is 501-437-2963. And the address is P.O. Box 95, Alpena, Arkansas, 72611. And for $10, I'll send you a sample copy of U.S. Militia, Shoestring Entrepreneur and Corrections book. I got another call. Hello, Kurt Saxon here.
Yes, Mr. Saxon.
Yes.
There's a lot of us that, you know, we are leaving the cities. We're fed up with the crime and the filthy conditions and everything. And, you know, we would like to have kind of an idea of what you might think a good area to go into would be, not necessarily a location, but, you know, the things a person might look for, how large a population, this sort of thing. Could you give us some feedback on that?
Well, a low population density is your best bet to start with. But you don't want to go too far up north, because a lot of times the map will say low population, but because of the short growing season, what they have is already as big a population as the land will support. So I think your southern states are much better. There's a lot of open area around here. The prices are low, and it's temperate climate. And so northern Arkansas is a good place. Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas. Of course, Texas is pretty hot, but if you can acclimate yourself to it, it's pretty good. And also you want where there are really nice people. And, of course, the southern people are very nice people. There are some good Yankees. I haven't met many. But there are, I've heard. But most of the Yankee territory is just so overcrowded. And everything is so pushed in together, so that when the cities start coming apart, you're going to have people sweeping out. So I would tell you to think seriously about the southern states.
The southern states.
Yes. And bring a trade, because there's not much work here. Of course, there's people here with money, and they'll buy or barter. And so if you can make something that they need, you've got a good living.
That sounds good. That sounds interesting. Somebody was asking earlier about some type of contact points or magazines or anything, and you mentioned Countryside. Are there any more?
Not any that I'd care to recommend, because so many just got in on the bandwagon there. They
selling to fools, right?
Well,
a lot of them
are pretty pretty poorly, really. But see, Countryside and Small Stock Journal has been in business for since 1917. And J.D. Ballinger, he is really with it. He is for back to the land. He's for self-sufficiency. And he knows exactly what you want and what you need. And they do have ads in his, but they're basic things like catalogs for all kinds of ways to process your own food and things that you need to do things with. So it's just it's a magazine for homesteaders and homesteading types, and even people who are fantasizing about it. So when they stop fantasizing and decide to do something, they have a good background of knowledge.
Yeah, even fantasies are nice.
Yes.
Kurt, we really enjoy your program.
Well, I'm glad. You keep tuned.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, here I am again, 501-437-2963. It's P.O. Box 95, Alpena, Arkansas. For $10, you get that great packet. Here I am again, Kurt Saxon.
Yeah, this is Pete from Traverse City, Michigan.
Well, Pete, glad to hear from you.
I heard you today earlier on the Paul Gonzalez show on that People's Radio Network.
Yes, I was on Nepal's show. He's a great guy, isn't he?
He is, but I thought you were even greater because for the first time we had some refreshing views about all this conspiracy nonsense that I hear continually.
Well, these people who are putting out this, they have a special market. There's so many people out there who see that things are getting worse and worse, and they're not very accomplished, and they don't think that they can do anything for themselves, and so they want a conspiracy. They want some evil men way up there pulling all the strings, doing bad things, so that the people who are exposing these evil men will finally expose them to the extent that they will run them all out of there, and then things will get back to normal, but it's not going to happen.
I don't sense that. I sense that this is a source of money for newsletters, which will expose them some more, and all kinds of books and magazines and periodicals. It's a money maker.
Yes, it is a money maker. But you see, people prey on people like that.
And so I was very, very happy to hear you call, but you got some nasty callers call in to knock you down because you disagree with Chuck Harder or Tom Valentine or Tom Donahue or all these guys.
Yeah, but you see, I didn't disagree with Chuck Harder. I've gotten many of his publications, and his material is very interesting. Now, I don't run and close my doors and turn off my utilities and get in the back room with a gun when I read something of his, but I've read some stuff that would scare me if I didn't know a little more about it.
Right, see?
But you see, this guy was jumping all over me where he said that if he that he listening to me and listening to Chuck Harder, he would rather believe Chuck Harder, and I think I straightened him out. He's not supposed to believe either of us. He's supposed to think for himself.
Yeah, were that only true.
Yeah, well, any fool can believe, and every fool does. It's the wise person that checks things out. And if you check these rumors out, all of these conspiracies, you'll find that they wind up nowhere. Now, in 1964, I joined the John Birch Society, which I call the Plot of the Month Club.
Yep, there you go.
And I got the American Opinion magazine, and boy, they just give us plot after plot, and they get us worried about this, that, and the other thing. Then when we stop being worried about that, here come along another plot. They'd have us all excited and doing nothing and afraid to do anything. And so finally I said, forget it. It's silly.
What taught me my lesson was the big scare we had about FEMA a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Yes.
And then I saw how they reacted with Hurricane Andrew and with the Los Angeles riots, the Los Angeles earthquake, and I says, these chumps are going to take over America. You got to be kidding.
That's right. That's right. See, so, well, these government organizations sound very good. They sound very powerful, very adept at solving problems, but they're totally incompetent. So how come when your house gets blown away, you don't hear from them for months? But these people believe that they're going to come and they're going to steal all your survival food if you get more than 10 pounds of survival food. FEMA's going to come around and collect it from you.
Yeah, and then they say, well, look at what happened in Waco and look what happened to Randy Weaver. And I say, look how incompetent and stupid that was.
Of course.
If that was a Nazi Gestapo-type operation, you know, Koresh would have gotten wiped out clean, as would have Weaver and the crowd gotten wiped out clean. This was the sloppiest operation in both cases you've ever seen.
Yes, but that's about our top-level government efficiency. So I will repeat, don't be afraid of your government. Be afraid because we have no government.
Yep, I'm with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, now the phone number again is 501-437-2963. The address is P.O. Box 95, Alpena, Arkansas, 72611. Here's another call. Hello there.
Hi, how you doing, Kurt?
Great.
I ordered your stuff last week. Can't wait to get it.
It should be on its way. You'll have to wait.
Sure. I heard somebody mention tonight the book by, I believe it's William Powell, The Anarchist Cookbook.
Yes, yes.
That thing is about 20 years old.
I think it came out in 1971.
Right, but I like what you said about that's a good way to kill yourself, because this guy has in there how to make TNT, nitroglycerin, I just don't think many people can handle making nitroglycerin.
Well,
he
didn't know the material, and he didn't give the proper methods. He just grabbed things from this book and that. Like in my books, it tells you how to make all of those things, but there's all kinds of cross-referencing.
Right.
He had no cross-referencing. He had nothing to compare with. And in many of his formulas, they're very old and outdated, and there's nothing to update them like in my books. And so if you just go on the old formula with no other kind of backup, you can destroy yourself.
Right. On your books, you say you have something to design or make a shotgun, a homemade shotgun?
Oh, well, that's in U.S. militia. I call it the four-wind shotgun because when you shoot someone with it, then you can take it apart in less than 5 seconds and throw it to the four winds and then just walk away. And then if some cop should stop you, you can say, hey, that guy got killed by a drive-by shooting.
Is it safe to use, though?
Oh, very safe. Absolutely safe. Many people have made it, and they love it.
Will this be in the packet?
Yes.
Oh, great, great.
Well, now Clarence, my fictional hero, is using it all through the story. But when you get that, you're naturally going to subscribe, and you get $5 off, too. The first issue tells exactly how to make it. The second issue tells how to make the padding so there's no recoil.
Right.
And, well, you'll wind up with a subscription. You'll learn all of that. You're just going to have most fun you ever had in your life.
Okay, I really like your show.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
And thanks a lot.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes now. A quick call, 501-437-2963. Yes, if you get if you subscribe to U.S. Militia after you get your packet, here's another call. Hello, we got about a minute and a half.
Kurt Jackson.
Jackson.
Yes, I was listening to your callers there talking about storing up ammo and guns and everything else.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is to have a well-equipped shop.
Oh, that's very important, yes.
Yes. Especially when it comes down to making new ammo.
Yes.
New parts for your weapons.
Yes.
And the biggest survival asset is that if you can make parts for your own weapons, you can make parts for anything.
Yes. I guess that would need a small lathe.
Yes.
Well, they're not hard to get, are they?
No. In fact, Lindsay's books there has a catalog of books there. Some of the books that he has shows how to make your own lathe out of engine parts.
Well, that's
or aluminum castings.
Well, what I will do tomorrow is bring on that Harbor Freight and describe some of the machinery in that. I think it'd be a lot easier a person just starting out to buy a small lathe for a few $100, which would be a fantastic investment.
Yes.
And then after he does that, then he can start making his own lathe parts, because the lathe is the only machine that can reproduce itself.
Yes. It would be nicer if your broadcasters could put out a stronger signal.
Well, we send it to Nashville, and they put it out from there.
Ah.
see. So it's going out loud and clear from here, and it's loud and clear on the tapes. But what happens when it goes to Nashville and then out in the atmosphere is something we have no control over.
Well, thank you again, Kurt.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Now it's sign-off time. I'll talk to you tomorrow. So this is Kurt Saxon saying goodbye and be good.